once again, good morning to everybody. We're so glad you're online with us today as we have prepared our hearts to celebrate our risen Savior. You ask me, how do I know he's alive? Because he lives within my heart. And I know God, our Savior, is living within us. And so we thank the Lord today for Jesus. And I thank you for your presence here with us at One Church today. Literally, there are a few thousand of churches you could have gone to. Online, for those that are making their way around, driving, you could have gone anywhere, but you're here, so I celebrate your presence. If you don't mind, would you give God thanks for our singers and band, media, all those that are here faithfully every Sunday to make sure that our service functions the way it does, and to get us caught up with the technological movement. They're doing great things here at the church, so I celebrate them and thank them for their consistency in doing this. Before we get going with our sermon today, there are a few things we want to acknowledge. First thing is this. With all that's going on in our around us, many of us have experienced from family members and friends that have been sick, and some have gone and passed on to be in heaven. It would behoove us to remain as good stewards to make sure that our business lives are taken care of. So if you have not prepared a will or have some things in order, make sure you do that. Make sure you do that. One thing that's for sure is that death is for sure. So none of us will live forever here on earth. So it will make great practice and make a good steward for us to make sure that our family's business is in order for the family that's still here when we're gone. Amen? And if you agree with that, just send somebody bold your praise across the screen and say, Mac, that's making good sense, to make sure things are in order for our family. My wife and I are having this conversation because, you know, both of us had COVID, so we have to make sure we have some documents changed for us. If God forbid, if we had died this early, the kids think my wife left things to me. I left things to my wife, but we've got to make sure everything's right for the kids. So this is the time for us to really go back and make sure some things are together. Thank you so much for listening to that. If you happen to know any first line people that have been going to work during this pandemic, would you take some time this week and you by yourself or as a family make a video of thanks and send it to that person and let them know that you're thinking about them and that you're so thankful for them and the act of service that they're doing for our communities by getting out there. Our postal workers, if you happen to know them and have their cell numbers or do something in kind for them, for putting their lives on the line for these past 9 months. So we are so thankful for them. Please keep in your prayers Ella Jones, as well as Tika and Zaria Hill. Ella is doing chemo, and Tika and Zaria had to go to California to bury Tika's aunt. You know, we just buried Q, her husband, 2 months ago. Keep Christy Metcalf, one of our newer members. She had to go back home to Tennessee to bury her daughter. So we want to keep them in your prayers. I greatly, greatly appreciate it. Also, mark your calendars for the 23rd. You have been seeing this online, but I'll make it known with our service today. On the 23rd, we'll be having Campfire Christmas on our property at 6060 1387. So at 6 p.m., you can stay in your cars. It's a drive-in time of celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ. There will be Christmas carols sung. We'll give an exhortation about the birth of Christ. You'll be given a gift when you come. You'll have hot chocolate. We're going to have a great time celebrating the birth of our Savior with a big old bonfire. Wouldn't that be fun? Just something wonderful, something different. Finally, please, please, please start preparing yourself for this season of fasting that we'll be going into in January. The season of fasting for 2021. Lord, into my heart that this is a year to reset. So I'm praying that you will spend the time and be open with the Father on the things that you need to reset in your life as we go into 2021. There are things, all that has happened in 2020, we were doing some things that were not even working. So God has provided all of us an opportunity to stop that old stuff and to be reset on the way we think, reset with our hearts, reset with our eyes, What is the Lord saying to us about our lives in resetting them? All right, thank you so kindly for that. If you have your Bible device, raise it high and repeat after me. Say, this is my sword. I live by it. I trust this author, and I believe its content. Now, with a strong voice, say, Lord, I thank you for your word. All right, so I know you're at home in a good spot, so give God a great loud praise offering for who he is in your life. We're going to continue our series of sermon that we began on last week entitled Amazing Grace. And oh, if it was not for the grace of God, right? And last week we talked from the subject, his destination. And on today, the title of our sermon is this, No Room But Plenty Space. No Room But Plenty Space. Go with me back to Luke chapter 2, and this week we'll be in verses number 6 and 7. Luke 2, verse 6 and 7. And the word of the Lord says this, while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. The grass withers, the flower fades, the word of our God shall stand forever. No room, but plenty of space. No room, but plenty of space. As I just mentioned last week, we started with God's destined destination. The fact that in Micah chapter 5, verse number 2, it was prophesied by the prophet Micah that Jesus Christ will be born in Bethlehem, in the region of Euphrates. There he would be born in Bethlehem, and it happened just like that. That we see that God's provisions may not suit our particular life of accommodations of what's happening right now in our lives. But what we can do is, as we look at the big picture of life and examine the big picture, we can see that all the bases of what God has said, that they have been covered. And as we look at this life of Jesus being born, the accommodations of Jesus' birth is not what we thought it would look like for the Savior of a world to be born in little Bethlehem in a manger. Those accommodations don't suit what we think the King of Kings ought to be in. What we find out as we look at this birth of Jesus and how it partners and parallels with the life of Jesus, that although Christ has been confined to a small space, he's never been confined to the space for his life. That the things that Jesus did them in an outward sense so that the world could experience who Jesus really is. Many of us have struggled when it comes to this Christmas time, this holiday season, because we have this Western idea of this nativity. And we see Mary as this clean woman holding this pristine baby. Joseph is groomed with polite animals looking on. The sheep were not baying. The cows were not mooing. Everything looks so beautiful. When we examine the scriptures, the delicacy of how we have made the birth of Jesus look so pristine and pretty is not the reality of how our Savior came into the world. But what I want us to understand this morning is that just like Christ, many of us have been locked away, feelings that we've been locked away, put to the side. But for the plans that God has for our lives, there's plenty of space. God has plenty of room to do what God has desired for to happen in our lives. This environment, this surrounding of Jesus' birth, It looks certainly unappealing, but there's something about it that I believe we're going to find great joy in, that if God has a situation for his only begotten son to be like this, there has to be something greater that's getting ready to happen because it partners with God's word. And we figured out last week, according to Isaiah, that God doesn't lie. So whatever God has said, his word will not come back void. And that's what we have to hold on to. Today, jump with me back in that verse. The first part of verse 6 says, while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. Write this down, if you will. God positions us to produce. Positions us to produce. God moves us to the place where we need to be for what we have to deliver has to be in the right place and space. God gets us to where he wants us to be. Now, we tackled this a little bit on last week, but here we have Mary and Joseph. They're making a 90-mile walking track down from Nazareth, actually down to Bethlehem. If you look at a map, Bethlehem is going down. So from Nazareth down to Bethlehem, it was 90 miles. And you have this woman that's pregnant. Now, typically in that day, they would walk about 20 miles a day. So now you have a pregnant woman, so let's give her about 10 miles a day, right? She's pregnant, about 10 miles a day. So this journey would have taken them about a week and a half to 2 weeks to get from Nazareth to Bethlehem. God had to position her where God wanted her to be in the right space to deliver what God had given her. Are you walking with me this morning? Many of us, we're wondering why our journey seems to be as hard as it was. It's because God had to get us where God ultimately wanted us to be in the right place and space to deliver what God has given us. This is what we see in Mary now. Now, possibly, God had Mary to go from Nazareth to Bethlehem to get away from the talking ladies in Nazareth. All the gospel ladies saying things like, look at that little girl. That's the little girl that said that the good man Joseph is using him. Could it be? We don't know. The word doesn't tell us. But could it be that God had Mary and Joseph get away from Nazareth because Joseph's family would be like, she's messing up my son's life, lying on him. Y'all know how we do. Maybe not you. Maybe the person that lives behind you, sitting behind you. But I don't know why. We don't know. We know that this is not the ultimate reason. We know the reason why they had to get from Nazareth to Bethlehem because God prophesied that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. This is why we have to spend time, everybody, and train our children early to fall in love with Jesus Christ so that they can make the right decisions for their lives. You see, if we wait till they get to our age, it may be too late. They got a whole lot of life to work through. They've seen some things, felt some things, experienced some stuff, so maybe it's going to be a lot harder to hear Jesus then. But if we start with them early, follow the voice of God, do what God is calling you to do, then it may not be as hard to be obedient to what God is saying. God positions us to produce. I believe that there's something to be said about God getting us away from our past environments. There's something to be said about that. Could it be that had God allowed us to remain in those old environments, what God had placed in us to do, we would never have done it? Because our environment would have snuffed it out? There would have been too many people saying, man, don't do that. Nobody's done like that. Dude, don't do that. Let's do this together. No, that's not what God said. Because we're going to see in a minute that Mary produced, she pushed this baby out on her own. There are some things you have to do all by yourself. God gets us in position. He gets us to the place where delivery is going to happen, it is the right place and space for it to happen. Could that be the problem with many of our friends today, is that they're not in the right place? And we're trying to help them get into the right place, and they have placed their own barriers up as if they don't want to go to the right place, as if they are afraid of the potential that God has given them on the inside, and they don't even want to see it birth because they are afraid of what might happen. It is incumbent upon us, everybody, to get to our Bethlehem, to get to our place where God has set aside the environment and made it conducive for us to produce, to deliver what God has placed in us. Now, I know I'm right about that. I know I am. This was the plan of God. Again, Micah chapter 5, verse number 2. It was prophesied that the baby would be born in Bethlehem. And since Mary had said yes to Jesus, Joseph said yes to Jesus. That means they said yes to a journey and yes to whatever the journey was going to bring in their lives. Is that the reason why all of us have not said yes completely to God? That we quite possibly could be afraid of what the journey is going to bring? You have to understand that in that day of Octavius, when he was now Caesar Augustus, that the Roman Empire, they had prepared 50,000 miles of roadways. Get this, y'all. This is a Roman government. There was at least 50,000 miles. That's why in the Romans you have the Romans Road. You have 50,000 miles that this Roman government prepared for roadways. But on the road you have different clans and different army settlements. They were there to take up taxes and make sure things were right. So this was not, it was a beautiful thing to have road, but the Roman government was a crooked government. So they were taking advantage of the people journeying. But on this road, Mary and Joseph make their way to Jesus. Because God had to get Mary where she needed to be. Could I challenge us this morning? Can you just write down and tell somebody today and tomorrow, just get there. Just get there. There are some people you've been doing a whole lot of talking to, a whole lot of praying with and crying. You've been quoting scriptures and sending scriptures over the airwaves and all that. And they every time you talk to them, they have, well, what about this? Just listen. I don't have nothing to say. Just get there. Just get there. I can't think of the lady's name, but she said, I don't care how you get there. Just get there the best way. Just get there. Just get there. That may be the challenge for many of us. Here we are. We're saved. We have the Holy Spirit and that with fire and all that. But we're still marking time in the same spot. Could it be that God is telling us, listen, I've already told you what I want you to do. Can you just get there? Will you elevate your mind and your heart and just trust me long enough and do what I say do and just get there? When you get there, you will experience more than what you would experience had you stayed over there. Some of us just got to open up our hearts and be obedient to God and just get there. God positioned Mary and Joseph. Mary to produce what God had placed in her. He had to get Mary in position. I got to move on, but I'm going to challenge this again. Unless many of us, we get caught up doing a whole lot of stuff, we're busy. Real busy. I mean busy. Too busy to return text messages. Too busy just to acknowledge or send a smile or check. We're just too busy. We're just busy. But you cannot be too busy where you're not willing to follow through with your obedience to God. I've struggled long enough in life, and my wife, we have all these conversations about a lot of stuff, and I said, listen, if this is meant for us, we got to go all the way. We got to get there. You understand what I'm saying? We got to put it all on the line and just get there, holding nothing back from God. All right. God positions us to produce. Write this down if you will. No room but plenty of space, says God, performing God's plan alone. Performing God's plan alone. The verse 7 says this, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger. Did you see that? And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger. Because God knows the plans that's for us. God has not only a destination already decided for us, but God has not only the destination, but God has it all mapped out of how we're going to function in that space, our destination. We have to be willing to trust God for the things that we don't understand or not clear about. It was Mary's responsibility to get to Bethlehem, not to figure anything else out. We look at Luke and look at Matthew as it talks about this birth of Jesus. When the angel comes, the angel said, "You're going to give forth a son. You call his name Jesus." So Mary had everything she needed to get from Bethlehem to Nazareth to Bethlehem. She knew she was going to get birth, and we're going to call his name Jesus. Now, the process had to do with her faith, trusting God to work that out. Right? You see, many of us, we want God to tell us everything, the root of the tutor and everything in between. And until we feel comfortable with what God has said, we don't do a doggone thing. And so we find ourselves continuing to be in this place of disobedience. Because half obedience is disobedience. And disobedience is painful. Performing God's plan alone. Again, the text says she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloth and placed him in a manger. So you know, get this. So she, this was all Mary. Now get this now. Joseph didn't have anything to do with her getting pregnant. Joseph's responsibility was to get her to Bethlehem. And it was now back on Mary to produce the baby. There are some things that you got to go ahead and find peace with that it's only meant for you to do. Yeah. Listen, even for us married folks, there are some things that's meant for you to do, but to be a benefit for the entire family. You see, I have a lane, my wife has a lane, and we move together. But how God has wired my wife doesn't make any sense to me. And how God has wired me sometimes baffles the fajibis out of her. So God allows us to give each other room to be who we are, to fulfill what God has said specifically for us, and it does not disrupt the union. There are some things you got to find comfort in the fact that God has trusted it to you and to you alone. You've got to do it. Remember we said in a minute, just get there? Now tell somebody else, just do it. Now you got to get there. Don't get there and feel like life is, you made it because you got there. No. You didn't get there just to get there. You got there to fulfill something. So now that you're there, you got to do something. So this is what Mary does. Mary, on her own, produces this baby that God gave to her. There are some things that God has birthed inside of all of us. But if we don't go through the process of allowing what God has given to us to incubate and grow and at the right time produce it, it has been all for naught. And do you know what happens to a baby that does not come out of a stomach? It dies. Can I step to this morning and say many of us are struggling with dead dreams because we never produced them. We have ideas we never put concepts to because we never got ourselves in our Bethlehem, to produce what God had placed inside of us. We have to come to the place where we're no longer going to be satisfied with just being saved. God has placed us here on this earth to produce something for His glory. She had to do it. And she had to do it all by herself. Now, I don't know if Joseph was there wiping her sweat or helping her with her breathing. That's Lamar. I remember that from Lamar's, you know. I don't know if he was helping her with her breathing, but Joseph could not push the baby. You have people in your life that God has planted in your life for a reason and for a season, but they cannot help you push out what God has placed inside of you. You have to have your eyes on the Lord and the will of God to do what God has told you to do. You got to get there. But when you get there, you got to do something. She brought forth firstborn son. You see that? And wrapped him in cloths. And laid him in a manger. I love how Luke describes this, because Luke describes this in the sense that Mary was not sidetracked by anything going on. Now, think about it, y'all. You have this young girl. She's under 20 for sure. She's in a foreign city. Her people were in Nazareth. She's all by herself except for Joseph. Can you imagine that? Now listen, that she and Joseph were not even fully married yet. You know, the Jewish culture have two sections of getting married. You have the betrothal, then you have the hoopah. That's when you really get married. They haven't had the hoop yet. They weren't even married yet. So here she is literally by herself. But she's so focused on what God said that she still produces the baby. And get this, she just didn't stop in producing the baby, but she wraps the baby in clothes. In cloth. Now, this, y'all, this is the ancient tradition that the mothers would typically do this. The old mothers would do this. Because the old mothers, there was this belief that you would take the cloth and you would ground salt, right? You would ground salt and get it into the cloth. And then you would wrap the baby because they believe that if the baby was not wrapped, their arms and limbs would not grow straight. So they would take that cloth, which was about four to five inches wide and 18 inches long, and they would wrap the baby tight because they wanted the baby's limbs to be straight. They wanted the baby to have to tussle to get out of the wrap to strengthen the baby's limbs, right? So here Mary is. Under 20 years old, and she has enough wisdom from God to do what needs to be done for her baby. Listen, there are many of us, we've set out and do some things that we didn't have an idea what we were doing. But the same God that spoke to us to do it, the same God that gave us the will and the mindset to do what needed to be done next. So despise not small beginnings that he was born, this junky town of Bethlehem. But God had a plan for Jesus, and here even for Mary. So she wrapped him in these cloths and she laid Jesus in a manger. Now, according to our Western culture, again, we have this nativity scene and we have it so plush and so pretty. These barns that we say Jesus was born in, they've become barnominiums now. So Jesus is on the second floor, gold dripping. Jesus is blinging real good. The shepherds have already been there apparently. And they brought him some Twinkies and everything's looking good. But that's not the real picture of what happened. The reality is that Jesus was born closer to a cave. You have two major thoughts. Jesus was born in a cave, or Jesus was born in the wide area, the porch area of one's home. And the way the homes are built in the Near East, there were two levels. You had the bottom levels where the beautiful animals that you wanted to keep up with, the animals stayed inside. Then you had a second level, which was the residence. Then you had an upper room. We've heard upper room before. That's where the Jesus' disciples were. They were in someone's upper room, and that was for guests. So here we have Joseph and Mary. Mary getting ready to have this baby Jesus, and there's no room for them. So Mary has to produce this baby in an environment that's not conducive, we would think is conducive for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, the text says that she gave forth a son and laid him in a manger. The manger is not a wood structure from what we see in the Western world. A manger was literally made out of stone. So you have a big rock. And in the rock, there's hewn out an area where they will put the food and water for animals. This is the manger that Jesus was laid in. It wasn't in a beautiful wooden structure with hay poking out just at the right spots to see his face. Y'all know the nativity. And Jesus is shiny and smiling with glasses on. No, I'm joking. That's not what it was. It was in a rock that they laid Jesus as a baby, wrapped in cloth. If y'all with me, you know I'm going somewhere with that in a minute. So Mary does only what a mother had the inclination to do. She took care of her baby. When God allows us to produce what God has placed in our hearts, it's now our responsibility to see it all the way till it grows. To do what nobody else would think is, why even worry about it? Just see what happened. No, I can't just see what happened. It's my baby. I can't just let the baby do what the baby. No, I have to take this. This is my baby. This is what God has given me. This is a partnership for me, my friends, of the vision that God has placed in your life. The thing that God has birthed in you, we have to take care of it. Even when people don't see that much in it. Here Jesus is. Some calls him a bastard child. Mary knew what her God said. And Mary took care of the blessing of God. God performed his plan alone It was Mary's responsibility. Let me not hold you too long. One more thing I'm going to put on your mind. The bottom part of 7 says, because there was no guest room available for them. Write this down if you will. God's purposeful public love. God's purposeful public love. Again, there was no room in an inn. There were no available spaces in all of the extra rooms that were there in Bethlehem. Now, please be mindful that there was a census going on. So you had families from all over coming into Bethlehem so they could be taxed. If we have time, we may talk about this back in the morning this week. All that goes behind this whole taxing thing is a whole lot going on there. So there was no space. So Jesus is going to be born outside of a home, and the thought is either in a cave or in the large porch-like area where animals would be there in the Near East, ancient East, because there was no room for Jesus. Everything that God does it specific and on purpose. That we may see this as no room for Jesus, but everything that God does it in an open space. God does it publicly. pardon me for being personal, but I remember going to the store. We grew up, my mom said, one time, she would say, after she told us, every time we go to serve that, she said, you know, right? So what do we know? We know that if you act up in public, where you act up is where I'm going to bring some more attention to you, right? If you act up in public, I'm going to get up. So when we would get to the store, I remember growing up, we would love going to Town East Mall. I grew up in Terre Haute, so Town East Mall was the stuff for us. We'd drive the Mesquite. Town East Mall. Remember old Oak Tree was in the first floor down there. And my mom would say, listen, you know. We were like, yes, man, we know. Because we knew that if we acted a fool in public, my mom was going to show us what a real fool was. You see, and I try to tell my grandchildren, my children, that woman in Austin you call Nana, and that dude in Austin you call Pawpaw, those are not the same two people that I grew up with. Those are two completely different people. Those are not the same people. Not the same person at all. And they look like, what, Pawpaw said? No, Pawpaw, not sweet. No, two different people. Because we knew they were going to display their love for us in public. Now, it wasn't just about us getting in trouble, but my dad would grab and hug us at the football game. Like, Dad, come on, man. These my boys. Hug us and kiss us on the cheek. And we'd be like, man, come on, bro. What y'all? Because they learned what public display was because my parents experienced Jesus. Look at what God does here. That here we have Joseph and Mary in Bethlehem, and it seems as if they're by themselves, but God displays his public love by allowing everybody around. Again, there are people that have walked in from all over the Near East. Everybody is able to hear the birth of our Savior. Those that are around could even see something was going on. Some noise is being made. What they didn't know was that a gift was being produced. What they didn't know was that the Savior was being born. Jesus, in his ministry, would often tell his disciples, I have no place to lay my head. Foxes have holes. Birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And, you know, he would say, if you're going to follow me, you got to be willing to let all this go to follow me. And I don't have a house of my own. But if you follow me, I have another mansion for you. Just follow me. Follow me. Follow me. Jesus purposefully makes his love for Mary and Joseph in public. You say, well, Magna, what's the love about? I'm glad you asked. Because the love is Mary produced Jesus. God has John to write in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. So Mary was a part of producing this love presented to the world. God did this in public. Can I step to the other side? There's just wanting to encourage us that what God has placed in you, don't you try to get out of it. There's something that God wants to reveal to the world, to those that are in your sphere of leadership, that if God can use me to get this done, there's nothing that would ever stop God from using you to get what God has placed in you to get done. He has this public love that God wants to reveal to the world through us. Sometimes we cancel ourselves out. Sometimes we get weary from the journey, but do not get weary, my friends. God has something God is trying to reveal for all those around you to experience, but you cannot faint. You understand that God gave Mary everything she needed without any type of antibiotics or any epidural to push this baby out for her first child, because there was something that she was going to learn in the struggle, how to appreciate the Savior that much more. God has something he's trying to produce in us. And what it seemed like there was no room for, God made space for it. What it seemed like that there wasn't enough a light to be seen, that God made space for it. And look at your own life and how you started off and what you had to struggle with and go through to get to where you are. And people that counseled you out and placed you in this small space where she won't be that much, he won't be that much. Look at his background. And look at what God has done. God has taken a room and given you space. No room. But plenty of space. There was no room for Jesus in the inn. Can I challenge us today to say that even for us that are alive today, many of us still don't have room for Jesus. The world struggles with it because we have room for sports. We have room for entertainment. But for some reason, the world doesn't want to make room for Jesus. I'm not just talking about the world, but can we bring it home? Some of us as Christians, we have room for programs. We have room for meetings. We even have room for religion. But for some reason or another, we don't have room. We're not making room for Jesus. We have room to read scripture. We have room for fellowship. But all of us are not making the adequate amount of room for Jesus. You see, it's one thing to fall in love with scripture, but it's something different to fall in love whom the scriptures are about. The narrative of the Bible is about Jesus. So how can you fall in love with his letter without falling in love with the author? So here we have Jesus coming from a cradle, a manger in Bethlehem, going to a cross. We have this man, Jesus, going from a trough to a throne that the Savior of the world was on his first throne, laying in a trough, lying there in a manger. And what they thought was a small space actually opened our Savior up from that small room to a great large space, because there he was in that trough. And they had him wrapped in those clothes. Now, my brothers and sisters, Christ being in that rock trough, that manger, Christ having those cloths on him as a baby, it is a picture of not just his birth, but also his death and resurrection. Because when he died on that cross, They took him off that cross and they wrapped him in linen and they had him lying there in a tomb. But my grandmama said, bright and early Sunday morning, the cloth came off his body. The stone was rolled away and he rose with all power in his hands. So many of you, I want to encourage you not to allow man to put you in a room, but to open up your heart to God and experience all the space that God has given you to put forth his love on the table. God has given you not just a small room, but a whole lot of space. So I have to ask you a question this morning. What are you going to do with the space God has given you? What are you going to say to the space that God has given you? My challenge is for you, when you're in the space of God, to open up your mouth, raise your voices, raise your hands, and give God thanks, not just for the room, but for all the space. This is what God has given all of us. He has birthed something within us. And now it's time for that birthing to be producing. Producing what God has given you as a revelation to the world. He didn't have that much room, y'all. The Savior had a whole lot of space. And for you this morning, the space that the Savior has, do you know where it is? It's within you. God has given you the space. So now the message of Jesus is not just being carried by Mary. All of us are carrying this message of Jesus. So space is unlimited now. What are you doing with the spaces that God has given you? Are we more concerned about how we're living? More concerned about getting the next iPhone for Christmas? Are you more concerned about all this frivolous stuff? Or are we getting ourselves in position in the Bethlehem where God is leaving us to be, to produce what God has put inside of us? That it has to come out of this room within us and out in the open space to show the public love of God to the world.